It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Since the 1980s and the war on drugs, the incarceration rate in the U.S. has more than quadrupled. Pennsylvania has the highest rate of incarcerated adults in the Northeast. The causes, consequences, and possible remedies for mass incarceration are the focus of a community roundtable on criminal justice reform at this weekend's annual meeting of the Pittsburgh chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. The event takes place on Sunday at the August Wilson Center. I'm joined now by phone by ACLU of Pennsylvania Executive Director Reggie Shuford. Reggie Shuford, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Let's start by going to the back to the 1980s and the so-called war on drugs. What happened with that has led to the mass incarceration problem that persists today?
The problem with the war on drugs is that it happened at a moment in time where politicians were trying to shore up their political tough on crime bona fides from both parties, to be frank, and found that the rise in the crack epidemic made it easier to do that by targeting certain communities. And so there was a rise in the number of crimes. There was a rise in the severity of punishment for those crimes, and obviously in targeting crack as opposed to other drugs, there arose a disparity in terms of the people who were targeted and communities that were affected.
And so you have this disconnect, and how big of a disconnect are we talking about with what's actually happening on the streets and the years behind bars people are being sentenced to, particularly African Americans?
Well, they're excessive. There's a tremendous disconnect. First of all, there are people in jail who shouldn't be in there. Many of them, especially because of the war on drugs, are there for nonviolent offenses. Yet there are certain mandatory minimum sentences, some of which have been struck down of late, but there's an effort to reintroduce them, requires automatic imprisonment, and they require incarceration for excessive periods of time. And so you have that as a phenomenon. And on the other hand, there are collateral consequences to imprisonment, what we call civil death, right? So the loss of the right to vote, the inability to get a job once you get out, all types of licenses, including professional and driver's licenses that can be impacted, the right to serve on the jury, the right to get loans, the right to housing, immigration consequences. So you certainly serve time in jail, but you're serving time once you're released as well, given your inability to participate in the democracy.
And what are the consequences? You talk about the personal consequences for the people that are incarcerated, but what about for American society as a whole? How much are we hurting ourselves by not being proactive in terms of rehabilitation and education and defaulting to the highest possible sentence we can and taking a human life and just putting it away somewhere?
Precisely. I think that we're doing ourselves a tremendous disservice, not only when you think about folks who've already been directly impacted because they have served time in jail, but when you think about the fact that 2 to 3 million children are impacted because their parents are away, right? So the majority, the overwhelming majority of people in jail or prison are parents. And so you're even talking about the next generation, not only those who are directly impacted because they are incarcerated. And we're not just talking about, certain adults at a certain age. We're talking about children, not because their parents, right, are incarcerated, because they themselves are targeted when we think about the school-to-prison pipeline and police in jail. So really, the whole school-to-prison pipeline is a reality. So we're targeting not just parents, right, but children as well. And older people, too, are being targeted and incarcerated as well. So I think we are spending limited resources devoted to locking people away without a lot of thought or care, perhaps, to the impact on their families, their communities, and then our society writ large, when you have people who have such few resources when they are exiting jail and prison facilities, and the inability really to become reacclimated in our society, because they continue to wear kind of a badge of, I call it the scarlet letter I for incarceration or imprisonment, right? So they carry that with them, and it limits their ability to be fully functioning, productive members of society. And then, as I said before, it starts, right, in school with young kids in handcuffs, and police in schools are not only fighting them kind of physically, but are introducing them very early on to the criminal justice system, when back in the day, it was the responsibility of school administrators to handle kind of minor school infractions. It's a different mindset. And the beauty of it all is that now people are standing up and questioning some of those policies, which in hindsight, we recognize were so devastating to many people in our society, again, related in large part to the war on drugs.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is ACLU of Pennsylvania Executive Director Reggie Shuford. What are the possible remedies, then, for mass incarceration in the United States?
You know, there's so many. There's so much we can do to change this current addiction to mass incarceration, because I think it's a fixation and really an addiction. So we need to answer the question, I think, at a fundamental level of why is it that we're incarcerating people to begin with? I mean, what real purpose does it serve, particularly in a context where crime is going down? So that's one question. I think another question is, especially for nonviolent offenses, why are we keeping people in jail for so long? I mean, the cost of incarcerating someone is $41,000 or something around that level, and it's really costly. And to what end? After they're released and they can't reacclimate and reenter society with any opportunity. So we need to ask those questions at the front end. We need to reform police and school issues. We need to reform stop and frisk. We need to take on racial profiling. We need to, I think, reclassify some low-level felonies, nonviolent offenses, from felonies to misdemeanors, which would result in less time in prison. We need to get rid of mandatory minimums. We need to expunge records once folks are released. We need ban the box legislation so that when people are applying for jobs, their past record, particularly in nonviolent context, won't be considered. So there's a lot that we can do. We need to reform police practices, make them more accountable, right? We need to have them answer for excessive use of force. We need to have them answer for targeting African Americans and Latinos. They need to be more transparent about what they're doing, and we need as citizens to be able to know what they're doing. And part of the things that the ACLU of Pennsylvania is doing is that we recently released a mobile app for your smartphone that allows you to record what police are doing when they're doing their public duty. So you can't interrupt an investigation, but you certainly can record them when they're performing their duties in public. So there's a whole lot that really, really can be done. And Paul, if I could just continue.
Sure.
Another issue, I talked about the racial disparities, but the impact on children, the impact on the communities, et cetera, but also of late, we are returning to debtors' prisons. So criminalizing the poor, people who are not able to afford municipal fines and traffic infractions and you name it, minor kind of fines, municipal violations and codes of the municipal code are being jailed for their inability to pay. And that's just not fair. That's not the America that we want to live in. And in fact, debtors' prisons is something that we thought we had outlawed, decades ago. So There's a lot that can be done. Interestingly and coincidentally, the U.S. Department of Justice recently, just this past week, sent a letter to all chief judges across the country warning them, in fact, about incarcerating people, poor people, for their inability to pay these municipal fines and traffic offenses. So there's a lot of attention being paid to these issues. And, you know, the ACLU of Pennsylvania is happy to be a part of those conversations and those efforts.
We're down to about less than a minute and a half, Reggie Shuford. But I just wanted to ask you about how incarceration rates in the United States compare with those in other parts of the world, particularly in Western European countries. What are we seeing elsewhere?
Well, we're seeing that we have the embarrassing distinction of being the lead incarcerator. So we are home, America's home to 5% of the world's population, but nearly 25% of its prisoners. There are 2.3 million people incarcerated in the U.S. today and another 5 million on probation or parole. So we outperform in an embarrassing way many other countries that one might think, in fact, would be worse offenders. But no, we hold that dishonorable distinction ourselves.
And in our final 30 seconds here, who are some of the people taking part in the panel discussion on Sunday?
I think it's going to be a great panel. Richard Garland, who's a visiting instructor at the University of Pittsburgh, running their violence prevention project. Julia Johnson, who's a Black Lives Matter community activist. Cameron McLay, who's the Pittsburgh chief of police. I'm going to be on that panel. And then David Harris is going to moderate that panel, who's a national authority on racial profiling and police practices.
And again, it's a community roundtable on criminal justice reform at this weekend's annual meeting of the Pittsburgh chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. The event again takes place on Sunday at the August Wilson Center. And we've been talking with Reggie Shuford, who is the executive director of the ACLU of Pennsylvania. Mr. Shuford, thank you so much for being with us, and good luck with the event on Sunday.
Thank you. We hope people will come out.
Coming up, Pittsburgh is having a 200th birthday party today. We'll look at the story behind the birth of Pittsburgh. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.